This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 62, Ayah 2, Prophet, sent to purify and educate. And it is even worse when others have to come in and provide those things for us. So let us not forget that those things that we think of, perhaps only in the abstract, are very much necessary as energizers, as germs of life, to manifest material interests. And we include it in the picture, taqwa, takhira, purity. These represent the precious beginning of real life for the mind of man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead us out of the darkness into the light and to purify us and to break every bond of slavery. He wasn't free, not to free to enjoy the world like hungry animals, but free to enjoy the world like intelligent men. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us perform in the life of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us, human life, compassionate life, life that has consideration for other lives, feel needs for others, life that is intelligent, not foolish, a life appreciating beauty and appreciating order and orderliness. So this is what makes the second man, the higher man in creation. He is sensitive to the more important things that he understands, that although the material world is the first wound of life, he understands that understanding, that material world gives him a higher existence in a higher world of abstract, where abstract becomes a higher language of the material world than the ABC blocks of the material language that we learn in elementary levels of our trip to the place of enlightenment. In Arabic, Bashirun is the good news. Bashir is the good news giver. So we don't call human skin by that name, but the piling of apples has this name, the skin of the outer thing. So that is to tell us that this new man, God creates him in his own sensitive concerns, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forms his life anew out of those sensitive conscience. The Quran Surah 62, Ayah 5, Donkey Carrying Books. Knowledge should be structured, should structure you. There are many African Americans with doctorate degrees that have nothing but time and leisure. Some of these people have has no more than the bum in the streets has, a whole lot of time and nothing to do. anyone who has earned a doctorate degree should not be idle. They are supposed to have the intelligence to make a job for themselves. They are supposed to have enough sense to establish themselves. So what is the problem? The problem is that the African-American is not really structured by the knowledge he has acquired. When you acquire knowledge, that knowledge should also structure you. Some people just have the knowledge, but they have not structured their own life after that knowledge. Their life is the life of a poor man. They are like the Quran says of them, a donkey carrying huge loads of books. You can have 50 PhDs, but if you just memorize the knowledge in order to pass the required examination, then you have not grown with that knowledge. But if you have grown with your learning so that it influences in shaping in the shaping of your life, and you take on principles dictated by the knowledge you receive, then you will grow and be in the likeness of your knowledge. You have the dignity of your field. You will not accept to be idle with the poor. Why can't African and the African-American people establish themselves? Why can't the African-Caribbean people establish themselves? We all are the same people from the same African ancestry. And we all depend on the white man for hope. We have no vision of our own. We're just following the white man's light. Therefore, we stay in the dark. The object of life is to serve God. What will bring the African American into proper ordering of his emotionality and into proper devotional urges rather than the pleasure urge? This world sells the citizens on the pleasure urge. They say that the pleasure is the first motivation, that the object of man's life is to be happy. Yes, happiness is a primary need in life. It certainly is basic. But the wise don't call it happiness. They call it well-being. They said that the natural object, the natural goal of life, is well-being. Happiness is too vague of a term to describe this natural goal. Let us look at the word well-being. Well-being is not only an essential requirement in our life, it is an essential requirement in the life of anything. A dog, cat, or any other creature will struggle for well-being. But well-being for the human being is a big term because the limits for our growth are much bigger than the limit for the growth of an ordinary animal or creature. We may be happy. We may start out seeking to acquire something that our life needs. We may acquire what we're seeking and still not find happiness because what we needed or wanted was just one part of what our life really needs. While we are seeking it, we thought that was the whole. We might say, if I can just get that, I know that I will be happy. Finding happiness, some people think that if they get enough wealth, where they don't have to be insecure or feel any material stress, that they will be happy. Most people who have a lot of money are not really happy. There are some people who think that if they get enough knowledge, it will make them happy. You can find that some of the saddest people are those with PhDs. None of these things just mentioned are guarantees for happiness. The only guarantee for happiness is that you please God. God says of those who please him that he will make their life pleasing to them. So this is well-being. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. The same condition that keeps the African-American people out of progress is a necessary condition to bring them to the proper state. This emotional makeup that keeps them out of progress, like, well, keep them out of the establishment if they're allowed to prevail in their lives. So this same condition is also necessary to get them on the right path. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. If you look at the levels of progressing that life goes through, the society historically has to rise to, we know that the state of the emotionality is one of the primitive states of man, but nevertheless, it is that emotional state. You must find order correctly before you can find your correct way in the world. Faith is a form of emotionality. Emotionality in its proper state is the suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. Faith is a form of emotionality. I have faith because of my emotional makeup, my spiritual expression, my fear, intuition, instinct, etc. are nothing but conditions of emotionality. We find then that the original form of man is emotionality. Thus, it is in emotionality that the intellect grows. Emotionality in its proper state is suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. The thing that is wrong with African Americans and their descendants and is in following a people who are not responsible for establishing them in the world. If they would stop following another people and try to find God, how to solve their problems upon their own strength, their own sensitivity, their own motivation, they would come to life once again. So that is the answer. It is as simple as that. We live in a country where we were once slaves, and what has been our path from slavery to freedom? It has been one of rejection to integration, fighting against social rejection, to be integrated, to get into the mainstream of life in America. Our whole history as a people in this country has been one of the struggling under the pressures of separation and segregation and trying to get out of an isolated situation and be acquainted in the white man's society. Integration is not the answer in any unjust society. There is nothing wrong with integration. That is a sensible urge and direction to follow if the society is suitable. A society that is suitable will help you enter it. And when you are near, they will give you more and share with you what they have. But if there is a society in which you are not wanted, and that society is not based upon pure principles, the closer you get, the more the progress is upstage to keep you out in their establishments. You come from one situation of subjection to another situation of subjection because they upstage the strategy to keep you out. And though you are in the society physically, you are not yet a part of it. Look at the word integration. The Nation of Islam, under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was calling for separation, and the Civil Rights Movement was calling for integration. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's movement made more progress during the conflict of the Civil Rights Movement than ever before. Those were the glorious days of the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam was voicing a contrary or different opinion than the one voiced by the black masses of the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement gained prominence around 1954 or 1955, and Dr. King and Rosa Parks brought the situation into the eyes of the nation and the world. And it was from that time on that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to make big outfit gains. People in the civil rights movement desired to be accepted as the natural part of their American life in society. The Nation of Islam was assisting upon its own life and identity separate from the life of America and the American society. So these two extremes were operating, one calling for integration, the other calling for separation. Dr. King appealed to the society sentiment, the hurt woman. Why was one movement called for integration? What was the main motive? The main force asking for integration, all you have to do is look at the characteristics of the leader. The leadership was emotionality. Dr. King, with his ringing, beautiful orator, was full of emotional impact. Appeal was not to the scientists of this society. His appeal was to the scientists of the society. He was appealing to society's sentiment to support something that is just no more than humanly decent. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on the other side, was claiming to be pragmatic, claiming the other side of the emotional ball, expressing the same thing he was saying, "You devil, you." When asked why he called the white man the devil, he replied, "Because you mistreat my people and won't allow me the opportunity to get what he had." Both movements were of the same thing. One is the hurt woman that says, "Prove it to me that you are human, and being by loving me and letting me share your life." And the other is a hurt woman which says, "I don't believe in you anymore. It is finished for good." Donkeys represents ignorant, uneducated people. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 5, Donkey Carrying Books, Bukhari, page 5, 607, Prophet Rode Quiet Mule. Matthew 21:2, Jesus asked for a donkey. What Jesus asked for, he said, "Go and find me a donkey untied, with no tie on his," meaning nobody has claimed him. It says, "And when you find him, bring him to me. And if anybody question you, tell them the master has use for that, for them," pardon me. He did not say, "Tell them Christ has use for them. Jesus has use for them." He said, tell them he, master, has use for him, for the donkey. So this donkey represented ignorant, uneducated people that nobody cares for. Out of there, nobody claimed it. Nobody wanted him. So he is too dumb and do anything, not even employable, and then stubborn too. A donkey is not only dumb, he's stubborn. He won't follow, and he's temperamental. He will carry you for a while and then stop for no apparent reason and then look at you like he is saying, "This is my business. I stop when I please." That is how he stops and looks at his rider. Jesus' donkey dissatisfied and defiant masses. But that is the kind of following he wanted, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have said, get me a donkey untied. He did not say, get me a camel untied. A camel is not stubborn, defiant. A donkey is stubborn and defiant. So who is appealing? So who is he appealing to? The dumb, uneducated, ignorant masses who were dissatisfied and defiant. He wanted to put something into the vessel, meaning that to do not have anything in their mind of what the world wants in the mind. So in the world, they are empty vessels. So he wants to put it into those and the vessels, a new wine. So this is scripture. If you don't know that Mr. Farad came in the role of Jesus Christ, playing the role of Jesus Christ, then you don't know Mr. Farad yet, W.D. Farad, or W.F. Muhammad, whatever you want to call him, that he left, those are his names. He came and he studied the Bible, he studied our condition, and he chose for himself to come in the role of Jesus Christ. Give me your tithe and burden. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? I'm coming back to Adam, but you should know this. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? He knew the government would persecute him if the government knew what he was doing. He knew the government would stop him. So he presented himself to the government in a way to make the government permit him to do his work. He said, give me your tithe and burden. Isn't that what he said? So here he is appealing to the government people. You have some dissatisfied people. They are tied with all of the burden of your society on them. And they are the ones who will revolt and rebel against you. I come to save you from your own troubles that you have in your society. Give me these. And I have something for them that will attract them and hold them. Now, can they trust him? The wise, they heard his language. They see his language. He is saying that I am going to take away from you your fears of your disgruntled, unruly, bitter, and some angry members in your society. I want to take the burden off of you. I'm going to give them something that will contain them, hold them, and you won't have to worry about them. But can they trust him? The Quran Surah 62, Ayat 9 to 10, leave business when called to prayer. So the purpose for our existence on this earth is to serve our God, and it doesn't mean in rituals. It means to serve God with your soul, with your intelligence, with your whole life. So this is another place. And I'm concluding this. This is again where we differ from this Western idea of freedom and democracy. We come to Juma and our toll when the call of the Juma prayer service is made, leave off business. So the businessman is ordered by God that when the call to Juma service is called, he has to shut up his shop. He has to close shop, stop selling, and hurry to Juma prayer service, congregational prayer. So this is in Al-Islam. So the same chapter on the Quran on Juma day, and when the Juma prayer service is over, has concluded, disperse and go back into the avenues of business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, is telling that business is necessary for the life and the progress of society. But it is not the highest value. The highest value is devotion to your God. So when you are asked to come and devote your attention to your God, close up your shop and come and devote your attention to your God. Juma, not rest day, but productive day. Then, when the prayer service is over, go back to your business. Take care of your business. So our day of the week for prayer service is not a day of rest. So this is not separate from my point that I've been making ever since I began speaking. It is not a day of rest. Our rest is in our productive work. That's where our rest is. You want to rest, work, and produce. That's how you rest. The more you reserve, your reserves increase, the more your property grows, the more you rest. So understand, Muslims, we don't believe in one day of rest. We believe in 7 days of work, and that is our rest. And some of us, that's what happens. We get off and work, and we go back Monday, and we're out of it. Can't recover from a weekend off from work. We are not going to rest. Call to prayer, horn, bell, voice. So Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 9, call to prayer, leave off business. Now Sinai, Surah Sanin. And it is a reference to spirit. Jews in the history of the people of the book were first before the Christians, and the Jews were a people who needed the spirit of God to come into them so they could be directed to their contract with God or covenant with God. And the Christians, not the Christians, but the people who converted to Christianity, they were a people formed and ready to receive God, but already spiritual, having spirit. And God chose to inspire the Jews. We have it in Mount Sinai. Moses went up to the Mount Sinai. And the Mount Sinai is called Torah Sanim. And it is a reference to spirit. So the Jews are brought to go and seek God to have a covenant with him by spirit. And we think of Christians, we think of Europeans. They were the first to accept Christianity. Europeans, the Greeks and the Romans and others. Europeans embraced Christianity. They were a people who had to get Christianity not direct, by inspiration of the spirit from God. And they had to get it from the sound of the world. And we have the expression now, that word has a ring, a familiar ring. So they had to get it from the sound of the word. And Muslims were not to be in either situation where he had to search to find God, spirit in us to find God. I mean, Muslims of the world. Not just black, the people, I should say, people at that time of El-Islam. Revealing of El-Islam, they were in a state where they weren't in a state, pardon me, that would say these people need the spirit of God in them. The world had much of the spirit of God in it, but the world was not in the right shape. And the Christian had already indulged the world and tried to get the message. The sound means the message. So in the word, so when the church has the ringing bell, that ringing bell is still there preserving their idea of them as a people who had to get guidance from learning, from listening to sound. They listen to words. And they found connections for the two. I wish I had the time. You would be surprised. This language is universal. It is not limited to any one language. And if I had the time, I could convince you. If you're intelligent and you stay rational, I could convince you. That's what I'm saying. is true. The language is universal, and the sound will connect meaning for you, not all the time, but many words have sounds similar to another word, and it will so happen that certain times for a Christian situation, pardon me, for a certain situation, it will so happen that the sound, that the common sound reveals something to you. So when you get help from the two words, you get the help from the meaning in this word. You get the help from the meaning in this word. That sound is similar. Then you will get help from that, and the meaning will come to tell you, to reveal something that was hidden when those words were separate. And the common sound hadn't brought those words together. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want us to struggle like that. The Christian leaders, they were 300 years trying to settle an argument regarding scripture, and they were blessed to be helped by the sound 300 years before they came to a conclusion. And when they came to a conclusion, they came to the wrong conclusion. They had a majority had come to the wrong conclusion. The Eastern Church did not accept the conclusion that they came to. The Greeks, Eastern Church, what is the nature of divine? What is the nature of man? What is man's nature? What is God's nature? What is the nature of man? What is divine nature? For 3 centuries, finally, they came to a conclusion. Yes, now he mentioned that we don't have the horn or the bugle or the trumpet. We don't have the bell. But we must have a human being. Bilal was the first one given the call with the human voice. Hayya ala salat. Allahu Akbar first. To the end, hayya ala salat. Hayya ala hulat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. So it is the human voice. So the human voice, what does that tell us? It tells us to bring it to a quick conclusion. I'm born when I do this. God has evolved man, and he has aided man on the path of his progress or evolution with his spirit. First his spirit, then his word. And then the man speaks, peace, assalamu alaikum. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayah 3, God made your features excellent. Revelation 2, 17, hair, white wool. So your hair is not for the kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. That climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tight together like a mat. What happens is this. When moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair that serves to keep your precious head cool in the hot climate. Water is a coolant. So we are just talking about these kinds of reasonings with the color problem. Before going on to our subject, water is a coolant. Black affects of color, white reflects color. We might say black is not a color. No, black is not a color. Black is the effects from the color being absorbed into each other or taken in. So what we call white is the effect of color being reflected altogether. So in the creation, in the earth, we see white and we see black. In color scales, we see the color of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealed to the physical eye. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, made your pictures excellent. So we are first made aware of our common life of excellence that we have and share with all people. God tells us in our holy book, he made our design and he made it more excellent. In the Arabic recording to our holy book, the better, the best identity that he gives us, our human identity that is to be understood in the aim for excellence in human nature. God created us. Racial, national, identity not last forever. So he created us for human excellence. And this is our common heritage that we have, and we should care more about this common heritage than we do about the color of our skin or the nation that we come from, etc. Because these things are temporary. A racial classification is temporary. They're not going to last forever. And also the national classifications are not going to last forever. But what God will receive if we are blessed to survive this physical world, what God will receive is our human souls and its excellence. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. We give black inferiority. We do have a color problem, brothers and sisters. It has been bred into our minds so long. From generation down to generation until now, we just live black inferiority. We can talk black superiority, but because of this being in the core of our mind and spirit, we live black inferiority. It's time to wake up. Hair is nappy is good. How often have you seen a black flag wearing brother or sister in our community? He is the one who even wants his dress shirt to be black, red, and green. He wants his socks to be black, red, and green. He'll come out with some water glittering shoes that are black, red, and green. He wears a knit cap, black, red, and green. He's black, he's black, he's black through and through. Yet when he talks, he says, yes, she's got good hair. She is so fine. What we mean is to say is that she has nappy hair or kinky hair. When he says that she has bad hair, he means that she has straight hair. When he says he has good hair, I don't see people when they're buying fabric at the fabric market picking nap material and saying, give me a piece of that bad carpet or give me a piece of that bad clothes. They say they would like to have this woolen nap rug. It's not bad when they're referring to it off of their own body. But when it's on their own body, they say it is bad hair. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 138, baptism of Allah. Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah seeks you in the mother's womb. In your mother's womb. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah takes you in the womb as he pleases. Revelation 1, 14 to 15, hair white wool, feet burnt brass. So nappy hair cooling is in the hot climate. Who has taught you that it's bad? What is bad about it? It's good, strong hair, and it protects your head. The book says of the Christ that his hair was white like lamb's wool. But the Christ on the cross that we see and cherish has straight and stringy hair. why do you say your hair is bad and kinky? You should stop using the white man's comb. He made that comb for his hair. Go get yourself a comb for your hair. You've neglected your own hair so long that it doesn't even look healthy to you. It's just like a nice, beautiful, attractive, nappy rug that you go to the store and buy today. You care nothing about it. So if you leave trash on it, if you let anybody walk in off the dirty street and track mud all over it, if you never vacuum it, pretty soon it is going to be ugly and unattractive. So when you brought that nappy rug, it was pretty. Your nappy hair is also pretty. When it comes here, but you start neglecting it. I don't care how nappy your hair is. If you could clean it and take care of it and give it the half the attention that you give the Caucasian hair, it will be clean, pretty, becoming to you, healthy and strong. Your hair is not made from the kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. That climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tight together like a mat. What happens is this. When the moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up those sponges that you have for hair that serve to keep your precious hair cool in the hot climate. Water is a coolant. So we're just talking about this kind of reasoning with the color problem before going on to our subject. What is a coolant? Water is a coolant. Well, we are just talking about this kind of reasoning with color problems before going on to our subject. Color with the color of righteousness. So we have to first see what is wrong with the world to understand the subject, we make the world. Let's take a look at nature itself and see if we see color superiority in the nature. The earth is many colors. I have been blessed to travel outside of this part of the world into the east and into the south in the Caribbean, Africa, and Asia. I have looked at the soil and I found some soil black, some gray, some even white, red in different shades. I came back home and I thought it over. I said that the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad's wisdom is truly great. He said in one of his books that the color of the universe is the sun. Being human, a creation of a product of the divine scripture. He spoke with a language that was the same as the language we find in the scripture. He spoke in the language of symbolism, but he spoke great wisdom. He's telling us in that book that the sun gives color to the earth, and all colors are in this sunlight. So we know when we see the rainbow after the rain, When the sun is still shining and the cloud has passed, but the mist is still in the air from the heavy rain, we see in that mist the penetrating of the sun rays, a rainbow that reveals the six basic colors. When we look at the soil of the earth, what we see, the sun. So black affects of color, white reflects color. You might see black is not a color. No, black is not a color. Black is the effects from color being absorbed into each other or taken in. What is called white is the effect of color being reflected altogether. in the creation, in the earth, we see white and we see black. In the color scale, we see the color of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealing to the physical eye. Again, I thought and reflected on the Holy Quran, where it describes how the rock, then I saw a great lesson, great beauty, and this from the Holy Quran. But I won't go into this. I'll keep moving. Then one day, just for the fun of it, I'll decide to just think on color in nature. Right away, I ask how the white man could think that everything white is pure. Magnets are white. And no white man will tell you a cup of magnets is pure. I said, I've seen black flies and white magnets. I have told you these things to say this. It is not the color of the material. It is the color of that is living, that lives in, rules over, and directs them in the material. We are told both by the Holy Quran and the Bible to color ourselves with the color of righteousness. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven heavens prophets. Similar from the earth, Methlehanu, 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 higher sensitivity, created above willing obedience in man, inherent nature. Then he becomes conscious, seven major prophets, man, in those graduations. There are 70 in man. Then a conviction. God wants us to conform to a logic, truth, where sensitivity becomes a conviction. God connected prophets, reality with the external reality, showed them the basis of their nature and sensitivity in the external world. Their convictions were so strong, we see them outside of us. They are no more than expressions fulfilling themselves that God created in man. The inner potential of man finding its place in the external world. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven ways above and like in the earth. Bukhari, Volume 1, page 345, seven prophets heaven. One Adam, two Jesus, three Joseph, Idris, five Aaron, six Moses, seven Abraham. The seven refers to the natural steps of growth that takes place in the consciousness of the individual. They are seven major prophets in us. They lie asleep in us. The average person can't reach the potential that the great prophets achieve. God hasn't sent us leaders that we can't follow, because the leader he sent represents what is inborn, inherent, innate in us. Allah gives to all, every person's nature urge for excellence and social maturity. The one staying with God, with the God-given direction in his nature, is the one Allah should make the leader for all the rest and for all times to come. 670 numbers. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven above and similar in the earth. Bukhari, page 4, 429, seven heavens the prophets visited. 1 Samuel 2, 5, the barren has borne seven. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren has borne seven. And she that hath many children is waxed fleeable. So 1 Samuel 1, 20, Hannah, verse Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:21. Hannah, three sons, two daughters. Revelation 13:18, number of the beast is 666. So the man-child is birth of the mind of a prophet. So the birth of a prophet is the birth of an inspired person, a divinely inspired man, mind. And when this type of person is born in the society that never had one like that, in the old ancient society, they referred to that person as the birth of a male or a man child. But when they were saying man, they weren't referring to the flesh. They were referring to the mind that God desired when he said, I'm going to make man or make me a man. Hannah birthed Samuel, Hannah three sons, two daughters, Hannah's child called Samuel. Seven not quantitatively, but seven qualitatively. So that mind that God desires for his human being is the thing that they are referring to in the book. When they say that he gave birth to a man child, this Hannah, when you read this in Samuel, you will see that Hannah did not have seven children. She didn't have any children. But Hannah finally gave birth to one child whose name is called Samuel. And when she gave birth to that child, she said that God now has given me seven children. How now is it interpreted that one child is seven? Seven is a mystic, spiritual, religious number, not meaning seven quantitatively, but seven qualitatively. This child has developed us seven rings of quality. He passed from one quality to another quality through seven, and now he is like seven children, because there are many who came, and they do not get. But the one of those here is one child with all seven. So his number is given seven. And she felt as though he had seven children. Now that she has seven physical children, but she had one inspired child. That society had one son amongst them, meaning one prophet, one enlightened person amongst them who had the divine knowledge. And that knowledge is described as the knowledge of seven of God's knowledge. Even seven looks for good and seven looks for bad. And we see this in seven in the early part of Genesis. So when God said that he made the heavens and the earth, the man and everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Again, we run into this when we read in the Bible that there are eyes that go throughout searching for the earth. They are of two classifications. One are the eyes of the Lord. They are seven that goes out searching the earth to help the righteous, those who are struggling for righteousness, to build them up, to encourage them. And then there are seven more that goes out to tear down. So 666 means materialize in senses, moral and mind. So the number of the beast is 666. Now one of these seven has to be false. Both of them have the seven. So here is a society or a group that has gotten into the divine society and has gotten into the divine classification, but they are not doing the job of divine. They are doing the job of six. And the book said, he who was wisdom, count the number of the beast, for his number is 666. He was not just 6 once or twice. He grew to be 6 3 times. His senses materialized. The senses are in the flesh. His morals were materialized. And his mind materialized. So he was even in spirit materialized. So he was materialized in all of these 3 forms. So what is the beast? Right out here. The one who had only the 1 6, he'd been dead a long time ago. Noah's flood killed him. But that one who is revived, he's still around here now, 666, and he's in the lake. And the lake is a fire. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save your family from fire. The need for a hero, Allah need, our parents, children, used to take their trade from the father, the uncle, the relatives, another people would pass down their skills and trades. That's how we have to guide trade unions. It's nothing but tradition that were established by parents. And now the unions have taken them over. Children don't have industrial cultural heroes, so they go to the gang for the style of life, leadership, because there is no hero in the house anymore. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and family from fire. So the devil advises children now not to listen to parents or religious teaching, and to make up their own mind. The result is that we have a rebellious and defiant youth. God had put it in the nature of the creature to believe the overwhelming majority, because in normal conditions, the majority is right. But at the end of the world, Satan created an unnatural situation and makes the majority of this subject. Satan says, you are your own one judge, your own judge. And by doing so, makes the youth feel inferior or of subhuman intellect. If the youth allows a parent or moral upright person to lend advice to that youth's life. So the system says to the little girl not to worry about obeying parents or religion. They give out contraceptives to induce this behavior. So children who choose the world over parents who have worked hard to show them the right way should be rejected, put out after they are grown. Keep them until they're grown, then put them out. Our parents in the South would do this. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself from the fire. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 107, hell dwells as long as heaven, earth exists. Bukhari, Volume 7, 717, hell comes out, la ilahi. So many people were over some family members that has perhaps transgressed so far that the person has put themselves in hell. We don't have the power to pull out any dwellers of hell. The individual must make the change themselves. Hell is eternal or conditional. The person can go to hell. But if there is something good in the nature, strong enough, it may be the factor for pulling that person out of the hell one day. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, hellfire of blind passion. Passion into destructive nature. When fire is done with a thing, what is left? Smoke. Where is the form? Fire bends twists, changes the form. Human nature is the same way. If you let desires, passion, go to the extreme where they become self-destructive, you've given yourself to the fires of hell. Three-pronged fall. Stick you in your passion, flesh is to pain your body. Another, to pain your mind, to pain your spirit. So the devil puts you in the fire of your own wild extremes. Passion, your unnatural love for things that you shouldn't love anyway. The world is designed to throw you into a furnace of self-destruction and burn you up with your own nature. You have the wildness in your nature. If you don't control it, it will burn you up. X, when you love the extreme and forget the moral rights in your relationship. Does hell last forever? What is forever for humans? Yes, for a disobedient, hell-bound soul, a lost is forever. In one place and then another, says for as long as hell wills. So it will be forever to you. But Allah will eventually change everything. It all will perish except his fate. But according to your own mind and thinking, yes, it'll be forever. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, save yourself and family from the fire. Family communities. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, save yourself and your family. El Hadith, page 307, 100. Allah hand on group. Genesis 5:2, call them Adam. 1 Corinthians 12:12, Christ's body. Romans 12:4, Christ's body. Genesis 5:2, Adam single and plural. Support family, not individuals. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Beg. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding, as I greet you in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.